Innovation Rockstars. Innovation Rockstars.
Today with food lover and technology scout Jan Lingenbrink from the Berlin Food Tech Campus. Together with his team, Jan helps designing and implementing innovative solutions for the food retail industry. In its role as a linking element, the Food Tech Campus matches creative minds and their innovative ideas with the right stakeholders to realize a go-to market as smoothly as possible. If you want to know why the Food Tech Campus Open Innovation Call is your chance to get your crazy stuff on the shelves, or why the pandemic of all things has brought to light how flexible and agile the campus is set up to be, stay tuned.
Now on Innovation Rockstars.
Welcome back to the Innovation Rockstar interviews. Today we have another awesome guest with us, food lover and technology scout Jan Lingenbrink from the famous Berlin Food Tech Campus. Jan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure.
Let us maybe start with you. Can you share a few words about yourself?
What's there to say? My name is Jan. I'm 38 years old, live in Berlin. Married, have a daughter, and I've been with Edeka Digital now since 2012, but have spent my whole professional life in retail, so to speak.
Short and precise. That's cool. Now, what is your career so far, and what brought you to the Food Tech Campus?
Well, I started at Edeka Digital as a classic project manager. The Food Tech Campus was a project that we approached to help you make use of the startup scene and use the innovative potential of the startup scene for Edeka Group. And we've started in 2017 with a small pop-up version of the campus here in Berlin. And this has grown into a full-fledged operations now. And that's pretty much has been my colleagues and mine baby project so far.
Okay. And can you maybe briefly explain just in a few sentences what exactly the Food Tech Campus is and also what its purpose actually is?
I think if you look at innovation and how things are disrupted, and if you look at technology inventions over the last years, you see that most of these new novelty services and technologies, they come from smaller companies. And with food, it's somewhat comparable. So we thought that if we want to leverage the innovative potential and make our yeah, if we want to leverage our innovative potential, then we have to tap into the startup scene, and the Food Tech Campus is pretty much a bridge from the startup scene into Edeka Group. Edeka is a very complex company; it's a cooperative-run business model, so the campus is pretty much a testing and staging ground for products. We will guide you, we will give you expert advice and help you with sales if your product is done within the company.
Yeah, right. So now I know that the Edeka Group is the largest German supermarket corporation. And as you already said, it is consisting of many cooperatives with thousands of independent merchants. And by the way, I just have seen that you guys also have your very own top level domain, .edeka. So it cannot really get any better, right? Just kidding. Now, on the one side, you have the Edeka Group. And on the other side, you have the Food Tech Campus. How are they connected to each other? Is there even any close connection?
Well, officially, we're a subdivision of the Edeka Digital, which is the IT service provider of the Edeka headquarters in Hamburg. But we keep close bonds to all relevant stakeholders within the Edeka Group. So we talk to independent merchants mostly. We talk to our colleagues at the headquarters, from the different category managements to any digital product owner or business owner. So we are technically we're part of Edeka Digital, but we try to understand ourselves as a service provider for both retailers, wholesale groups, and the headquarters.
Okay, yeah, and if you go back now to, if you go back to the past, once you had founded the Food Tech Campus, and now go, to the present, how has the innovation management of the entire Edeka Group, if you can call it innovation management of the entire group, actually changed as a result of the Food Tech Campus? So, did you took over some responsibilities? Have you split responsibilities? What are the main differences compared to the past?
In general, Edeka is very decentralized, so most of innovation is happening at the very level of the stores, of the independent retailers. So if they see a solution that they want, they will test it, wiggle it around until it fits, and then use it. The same is also true for the regional divisions. They also have their own teams, they have their innovation programs, and it's very hard to introduce anything innovative from a top-down level at Edeka, because it needs to be grassroots moved, and the retailers need to see a value. And if that works well, then it's pretty much a marketplace of ideas. So good solutions that have been proven and are battle-proof within the retailer's domain, then they get recommended, eventually picked up by the regions, and then also maybe centrally distributed. But this is how it's normally done here. I think the impact that the campus had in this regard is that we provide a platform for all those topics that don't have a home, and especially guiding external service providers and startup companies into the group without having to talk to the central buying procurement officers, for example. Because many smaller companies, they don't know who to approach, and we provide this guided process from pretty much vetting your solution, making it ready for the market, and getting to the right people to get into pilot projects and prove that your solution is working.
Yeah, so I heard that you guys have a lot of success and also a very good reputation out there. Would you maybe agree that with what you just said, that this is, you know, actually your secret sauce that makes this successful, that you can, you know, kind of have an independent platform for things to test out? Or is there another secret that makes you that successful?
I believe that we are very good in formulating the needs and desires of our independent retailers into a startup compatible speech. So we are working very customer centric, and our independent retailers do the same. So we are very good at translating this into technologies and into maybe also food products, and to just connect the startups with independent retailers and their domain. This is some, I think, the main value that we can provide here at the FoodTech Campus.
Understood. Okay, cool. Now let's zoom in a bit to understand how exactly you work at the FoodTech Campus. So far I understood from you and also from the from your website and all the material that you have, that you have a strong network of experts, startups, and of course close connections to Edeka, and you basically help co-creating the food retail experiences of tomorrow, which I personally think is a great slogan. Now, go in a bit deeper. How do you approach all the different innovation topics and projects? Can you guide us through how exactly you work at the FoodTech Campus?
I think there are several channels which we use to tap into innovative solutions. One channel is that we actively scout for solutions that might solve a challenge that we have internally. So there's a big challenge list. There are different fields that we act upon. And if we find something or we're looking for something specific, then we will approach the startup company and say, hey, are you interested in doing a project? This is a challenge. Can you solve this? This also used to be the mode of operations over the past years. Since we've also gained some more publicity and some more traction in terms of external visibility, more and more startups approach us. They say, hey, if we want to do business with Edeka, so I heard you are the door to that. Could you help us out? Can we do something? This is normally done. And the challenge with this is that most of the requests and most of the applications that we receive from startups, they are rather unstructured, and they cover a wide field of different areas. So what we did in the last year mostly is that we pretty much publish open innovation calls. So we streamline different specific topics, and we try to find solutions for very specific challenges, and then put this out for a few weeks. Startups can apply, and then we have a very structured vetting process to follow through. And in the end, the most relevant and most successful applications, they receive a certain stage within the group, and we connect them to the relevant stakeholders. So we try to shorten this process of having to call 500 people until you find the right one.
Okay, so these were kind of two channels, as far as I understood. The first one, maybe we can summarize that as from, I don't know, from pull to push somewhat, because you're actively scouting, right, for solutions and then pushing them to Edeka or to any stakeholder that might be interested. And then also the open innovation calls, which I think is a great tool and a great channel to get traction also in the public. Now, for scouting the solutions, so for the first channel, how do you exactly do that? Do you have, I don't know, tech scouts and startup scouts running around and just collecting ideas, collecting inspirations for those solutions? Or how do you exactly do that? How do you exactly scout your solutions?
It's mostly challenge-based. So if we have a specific challenge, for example, sustainability in terms of food waste or packaging material, then we scout along this guidelines and we tap into different networks to help us out. So we are connected with different organizations that, for example, have a lot of startups under their roof for a specific topic, or we talk to universities and have our networks there that we can tap into. And then we have our expert pool at the Food Tech campus, so that these people, we actively approach them and say, hey, if you have anything for this or this challenge, then please let us know. If there's no open innovation call active at the moment, you can apply either way. So you can just go through our regular retail innovation track, just put an application and we'll have a look at it. But this sometimes also involves solutions that we have never thought of, and we even didn't realize that there's an issue and a problem. And then we go all the way back into the company and try to find the matching problem for that solution. That sometimes also happens.
Okay, cool. So that's the input channel. That's great. Now, once you got this input, so you got startups into your campus or into your programs, you got the ideas. How do you actually then, on the next few steps, help them improving or even scaling their offerings? What's kind of your contribution to the product success, for example, if they are in your food tech campus or in the retail innovation track?
I think the core value that we can provide is that we are basically an open innovation network. So you can come in, you can mingle with like-minded founders who maybe have similar solutions. We give you access to the stakeholders who would be your direct customers in the future. So if you have a solution that, for example, caters to a certain product area, then we can give you contact to a person who is responsible for this category, for example. Or if you have something that benefits an independent retailer, we have a pool of independent retailers you can contact and just directly talk to them. So this greatly helps in getting the right fit, the right market fit for your product. Then, especially in terms of food product, there's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done until you can be accepted as a supplier. So what we do is we provide a network of experts who help you along this whole process of becoming a marketable product. This starts with auditing ingredients, declaration compliance, up to certificates that you need. And this was also, the volume of this was so much that we also have our own platform for that, which is called Food Starter, which was started roughly 3 years ago, where we have a very streamlined process exclusively for food startups who want to sell at Edeka merchants. And we, at the moment, we are building the same for tech. So that if you're a founder who is interested in retail but doesn't have a food product for consumption, then you're also right with us, and we try to apply the learnings and the basic rules of this food starter process onto the what we call tech starter, tech starter track. And the idea in the end is to have a marketable product or service you can easily book and use. But until you are there, there are many stakeholders that need to be accessed. So you need to ask, for example, if this is a solution that fits our general infrastructure, or you need someone from the data protection and privacy department to greenlight your solution, or you need someone who is able to give you an idea how our checkouts work, for example, and that an integration is not an easy thing to do. And these are all the steps that you have to go through. And it's still not easy, but it's the easiest route you can take.
Ah, okay. I think I got it. So you do have the, you know, the food tech campus, which obviously says food and tech. So, and you know, you help them with your network and you really professionalize things if it is not, you know, on a certain level, for example, not a marketable food product. If it is food innovation, and then you can, you know, for example, place those food innovations, marketable food innovations on the food startup platform. Okay. And on the other side, if there is a more technology focused innovation that may or may not have also a food component in it, then you actually have a different platform. I think you call it TechSata. Yeah. You kind of use that.
It's a working title. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. To to kind of market this. But what happens afterwards? Like, you now have the products on the food starter or on the second platform. And how do, for example, all the Etika merchants, you know, get notified that there is something new? Do they just pick and choose what they like? Are they informed on a regular basis? So how is the information then brought to all the thousands of Etika merchants?
That depends on the product. So over the last years, we have hosted many events and also have a lot of formats that involve Etika retailers. For example, there's a format called the buyer's pitch, which was one of the first formats also to be very quickly digitalized. So there is a group of merchants, 5 to 10 people who all own stores or several stores. And then we have a set of startups who just pitch their products. It's a bit like Shark Tank or Höhle der Löwen in a smaller, more condensed version. And, that was one way of getting or expanding our circles of contacts towards the retailers. So this is a very popular format. I like it. We have a lot of returning retailers who do that. And we, of course, are in constant collaboration and communication with these retailers. So we write them, we ask them if they want to participate in a project. If we have a possible candidate for a technology proof of concept or a pilot, then we have a rough idea who might be suitable in terms of what store sizes they have, or if they actually have this problem, or maybe mention it to us. So it's a bit of stakeholder management on our part, but we try to reach out there, and we do this with different channels. So we have newsletters, but we also have an internal platform to talk to the retailers, and it's getting more and more, becoming more and more participants. And this is the main goal that we are pursuing, and the main way of talking to the retailers. And it's not that you have one button to press and the solution can be rolled out nationwide. That never works. It's always you go from store to store, but at least you have a rough idea what's up and who to talk to next.
So, you know, the German word for that most probably would be Klinkenputzen. Yeah, you need to go from door to door and present those solutions. Now, let's maybe one or two examples. When looking back, what would you say have been the most successful innovations maybe in the past few years, whether in the food or in the technology category? Can you just give one or two examples, of course not sharing any confidential information, what happened and what really made up for success?
That's a tough one. Let's go to the start of the pandemic. I think one of the strong suits of our retailers is that they can adapt extremely quickly, and they know their customers, and they're not afraid of changing processes and changing their business if this is necessary. So I think in the beginning of the pandemic, when the restriction of customers in one store was given out, they had different ways of dealing with it. And many were very pragmatic, and they just handed out a limited amount of shopping carts, and you had to use a shopping cart. So if all the shopping carts are gone, then you're at max capacity of people who are allowed in the store. And many retailers said, this is not, our customers don't like it. This is not customer friendly. And then they reached out, and we, together with a startup, co-created a people counting solution that was very lean and extremely quickly tailored towards the goal of knowing how many customers are inside the store. So it's an infrared sensor, very simple. It checks the people coming in. There's a traffic light system in the front, so it knows if the maximum capacity is reached and people have to wait. And this was very quickly done. And within a few weeks, we had this thing in a few dozen stores. And this was one of the in my personal experience, one of the best projects and the quickest conversions of a, we have a problem here and we need a solution for that, and how this is done. Of course, the retail tech landscape is extremely versatile. It's a traditional business, and also offline retail is something which has a lot of emotion in it. So it's very hard to pin out or point out any specific technological innovations for that for me. But the capacity to quickly change and adapt and react to special circumstances is something that we admire in the retailers, and we also try to do the same. And another example is how we digitalized most of the formats here. So the campus in Berlin is it's a physical space. I think the value of the FoodTech campus is the network, but the physical space is also important, especially for food, when you want to taste stuff and you want to talk about how this is perceived. And all these formats that were on premise, they had to change quickly when the pandemic started. So we shifted from doing these online, these bias pitches to online bias pitches. And we recognized that these are accepted very well. And the retailers, they even like it more, because they can then spend 1 hour in the morning to taste and give feedback. And then they're back in their everyday business and don't have to travel so much. So these were one of the examples where we actually had a good run, and so far have done a good job in quickly changing to outside situations.
Congratulations to this one. Now that was kind of a look into the past. Now let's maybe have also a look in the short term and also mid term future, maybe. So what is next for your FoodTech campus? What can we expect from you in the new year, in the near future?
It's a crystal ball I don't possess. So if I knew this, I think I would be doing something different. If you look at the next weeks, I guess some of the things that we will start now is we will go live within this, I think the next week, or I think it should be live now, is the next open innovation call. So we're specifically looking for a sustainable packaging solution, and we're looking for what we call in German Lebensmittelwertschätzung, so valuing food. And this includes reducing write-offs, reducing waste, and reducing, making the best out of the food, maybe also through improved production processes in store, for example. So this is a very wide field, and this open innovation call is active now, and we're hoping to get a lot of applications from companies who have great ideas, great technologies and concepts to help tackle some of the challenges that we have, because right now this is one of the key issues, of course, that we are dealing with. If you talk about where would we be in 1 year, it's very hard to say. I think we will adapt. We will also change our business in terms of keeping it customer centric. So if we see that, for example, this the tech startup platform works, and more and more tech companies are willing to use us to start business, doing business with Edeka, we also might focus on this a bit more. I don't know how things might turn out when it comes to going back to normal everyday events and meetings. I don't know if this space here will be, if we just switch back from online bias pitches to regular bias pitches, or we just keep the digital format because it works, and then do some regular bias pitches on top of it if people are in Berlin by accident. So I don't know how this develops, but what I do know is that we are very very well at adjusting to new situations, and we want to keep this and of course grow our network with the retailers. But in terms of specific innovations, it's very hard to know what's going on in a year. It's quickly changing.
Yeah, totally agree. And you know, concerning your next open innovation call, where will you publish it? Will you, you know, do that in social media channels, or where can I read what actually happens with the next open innovation call?
I think we will use social media channels, LinkedIn and Facebook, but I think our website, foodtechcampus.com, is the main go-to area, because everything is structured there as well. And if you want to apply, you can also just push a button there and it leads you through the process.
Okay, cool. So now we are quite far along with our interview, but allow me to kind of closing questions. Now that I have you here as an expert and as an insider, and again, I know there is no crystal ball, obviously, existing, but just in your personal opinion, how do you think the entire retail space will change in the next, let's say 5 years or so? Will more digitization be there? Obviously, will be more sustainability thoughts in this entire space? Just a rough, opinion from your side. What's going on in the next maybe 5 years or so in the entire retail space?
Well, I think digital solutions are successful if they provide a customer benefit. If a customer likes it, then it will be successful. The same is also true on a B2B level for independent retailers. So if a solution creates a value and is a benefit towards the retailer, then it has a chance of working. Otherwise, I don't know how the next years will play out. There are many solutions on the horizon. Edeka is dealing with a lot of stuff right now in terms of digital concepts, and but it's very hard for me to pinpoint this down and create a space or a picture of how this might look like. Let's get surprised, I guess.
Let's be surprised. Okay, yeah, makes total sense. And I think, you know, in these times where things are changing so rapidly, obviously, you cannot make a good prediction or of what might happen, especially in the next 5 or even 10 years. But one last question before we finally reach the end. Now, looking back at your time at the FoodTech campus, what would you say? And I'm asking everyone who's in this show, what was your biggest innovation rock star moment so far?
I would say that this was actually the week where the lockdown here was announced, and it was clear that we couldn't just keep this running as we used to, and then we quickly changed to get all formats digital, retain our members, try to put everybody in a room in a digital way, and keep up the spirit and the way how people are working and collaborating here on a digital platform. I think this was something where we reacted very quickly, and where every member and every part of the team did their part, and we were able to pretty much transform this offline location into an online service platform that even was then accessible to even more members. So we actually gained a few members during the pandemic. Because the formats were simply also interesting for people who are not in Berlin, and you can then partake from anywhere in Germany or Europe.
Yeah, so that sounds like a big effort, and I'm really glad to hear that it worked out so well. And you know, I think the FoodTech campus, your team, and also yourself, you really provide a good example of what it means to be, you know, agile and also an adaptive organization. These days, oftentimes you hear so much about, you need to be agile, you need to be adaptive, you need to react timely to change. But oftentimes, or at least in my opinion, oftentimes, concrete examples for how to actually implement these requirements and practice are really missing. And at least what I can see and what I understood from you today, the FoodTech campus and all the different food startup platforms, tech startup platforms, your open innovation calls and so on, they are actually a concrete representation of what it means to be agile and adaptive. So I just say, Jan, thank you so much for this super exciting conversation. Thanks for being here. Take care. And I hope we will speak soon.
Thank you, Chris. Same.
And to everybody listening or watching, if you are into food or food engineering or food technology, convergence, and so on, really make sure to be part of Jan's Open Innovation Calls. And if you would like to leave us a comment on this episode, just email us at info@innovation-rockstars.show. Now that's it. Thanks for listening and see you at the next episode. Bye-bye.
Innovation Rockstars.
This was Innovation Rockstar Jan Lingenbrink from the Berlin Food Tech Campus.
If you also have an innovative idea that might revolutionize the food and retail industry and would therefore like to share with Jan, or if you'd simply like to give us feedback on this episode, just email us at info@innovation-rockstars.show. For more exciting contributions from our podcast series, visit our new website on www.innovation-rockstars.show. Or browse through our Innovation Rockstars channel on all popular podcast platforms.